reality, because that tends to be
radio.
But also trying to put people first. And I lived through the other recession at another institution, and it's the complete opposite kind of approach at this one. So I'm very, very grateful that we're trying to be thoughtful, that we're trying to be intentional. I've been permitted, and it's not so much permission. It's just the culture, I think, of the leadership at the place that I'm at right now, where we're able to dialogue, we're able to at least have a conversation, and I feel as if I'm being heard, whereas in other institutions, it felt like I was very much, hitting my head up against the brick wall, and I was trying to figure out creative ways to go under or over or sideways to get people to actually, and that's across the table, everyone on cabinet, to think thoughtfully, and I feel like I've got that right now. So I'm just feeling really, really, really thankful because I've got the trauma from the last time, and I'm trying not to let that influence the way that I behave and react this time. So I'm holding both of those things, and I'm able to have voice and advocate. And I don't right now really feel as if that I have to be measured because, again, I've got this luxury and privilege where I sit right now currently, where I feel as if I'm empowered to be and show up as me and say, and my boss is used to me saying, so I'm very, very grateful for that.
Well, that gives me hope, and I don't hear your story as often as I hear others from senior leaders. Could you share, and if not, what was the question that your president asked the leadership team over the weekend to ponder? I just love that as a practice.
He was talking about the different scenarios about trying to repopulate the campus. What could that look like? What should we be doing? I'm trying to remember what the other question was. It was primarily about how do we get back to what this post-COVID normal will look like while, again, trying to ensure safety, ensure that all the different identities, those who have caregiver responsibility, all these things are being held at the same time. And I got to tell you, it's extremely challenging. There were some questions when I was running it through critical race theory. I was like, I don't even know. I can't. I don't have an answer. We're still wrestling with a lot of that.
But to have the senior leader hold people first, all of our mission, vision, values, priorities, and that includes equity, inclusion, lens, full breadth of differences.
Mm-hmm.
What a practice that is. So. Beth, what's coming up for you as you hear Kim, and also just what are you noticing either on the campuses you know about? You don't have to talk about specific ones, just what are leaders, the challenges and the strategies they're using or the gaps they're finding?
Yeah, I feel like this time has, it exaggerates the strengths of institutions and the struggles, right? So for me, at least that's the way it felt, and I'd actually argue that's maybe people too. So I'm like, my strengths are rocking right now. My struggles, they are all over every Zoom screen out there. I think that has been what I'm seeing at my own institution, at other institutions. And so one of the things I'm really grateful for, I've been thinking a lot, and I've checked in on some chief diversity officers, senior diversity officers who are new in their roles in the last, I know one who started in January. Right. I'm 2.5, almost 3 years, it'll be 3 years this August, into my position. And one of the things I've been thinking a lot about is the work that we've done as a campus in building people's capacity to ask questions around equity and diversity and inclusion, right? To get kind of foundational questions. Who are we talking about? Who are we not talking about? Decoding, right? Whose experience are we not thinking about? How do we even figure out whose experience we're not thinking about, right? Making space and making room for hearing lived experiences, right? Hearing all of that anecdotal experience. I mean, that's the way it's thought about, right? Anecdotal data about what people are experiencing and really incorporate it into how we're thinking. And so the capacity building, I feel like, that we've done has been really helpful in this time. I emailed a group of deans, I think, earlier this week and said, hey, I know there's these three meetings that are coming up, and I can't do all of them. Right? You know, do you all have it? If you have the equity questions, what can I do to support you in that? And the deans replied very differently, and they were all great responses, right? One dean's like, okay, so I think we have the parent perspective, and I think we have, a perspective around people who have chronic health issues or in over 60, and I think we have the most vulnerable populations in these ways, right? And we're able to kind of name that and list that as we think about that these are also meetings connected to returning and what that would look like. And so I'm so grateful to their capacity to be able to name how they were going to approach these conversations and also ask questions. What about this? Or have you heard about other institutions that are doing that? And that's been something we've really been focused on as an institution, is we do not have to reinvent all these wheels. There are institutions with many more resources, many more people thinking about that, and they need to share with us how they are approaching certain things, right? So that we can adjust to our context, as Reverend Dr. Jane Washington always says, right, the context before the content. And we need some context because, as our provost said in the meeting a few weeks ago, I didn't learn all this in provost school. Right? Like, this was not covered, right? And I really appreciated him saying that because it's true, right? I guess it's a little bit of a snapshot of also from a somewhat positive perspective. I will say that other struggles are real, right? There's always the instinct towards equality. But just do the same for everyone. We'll offer everyone the same thing, and then at least we've been quote unquote fair, right? So equating fairness and equality, and being like, okay, and that's not equitable, mm-hmm. because we know there's profound differences and struggle right now. And so, how do we, given the breadth of the struggle, right? How do we address that, both the breadth and the depth of the need? And that is not easy. And so I have been grateful to people, even when they're like, please, can we just do the same thing for everyone, holding the idea of, or what would equity even look like here? I can only imagine equality. So what would equity mean?
Mm-hmm. So many great ideas from you both. We're about to go to break. I'm going to ask you, how can people contact you? But a couple quick ideas I'm getting from listening for senior diversity officers that are newer, really seeking out those mentors or just putting out a call. I'll start a call, like all of a Zoom, can other folks join? And really seeking out peer and aspiring institutions, whether it's California State is already organizing all the senior diversity officers and other types. It's what I've loved about bringing people together. We had someone from a Christian university and someone from a more Southern university. And so, and folks who are 2, 3, 10 years, 15 years in, how can senior diversity officers support others? And the other idea of inviting yourself to meetings, but realizing you don't have the capacity, so really coaching and consulting senior leaders who are running those meetings. As we move to break, could you each just share how could people contact you if they just have a few more questions, and you both do coaching and consulting? I know. And so if you'd like to share how they could use you, and we'll do that again at the end. Just, Kim, why don't you just kind of, if you're willing to share, how can people find you?
Yeah, so my email, my Cal State East email is kimberly.bakerflowers@csueastbay.edu. That's the easy, I'm on it all the time. That's the easiest way to get in touch with me. I'm happy to have any kind of dialogue.
Fabulous. And Beth, how can people find you?
So my email is bethfalconcohen@gmail.com. So it's exactly as my name is written, but no spaces, no hyphens, no dots. Just bethfalconcohen@gmail.com, and please feel free to reach out.
And as always, drkathybaird.com/events, EVENTS. You'll find some of my free resources. They're also on the radio page. my book, In It for the Long Haul, this could be a great time for people to look at self-care and community care. What have we been doing and what do we need for the next month, 2 months? Folks are exhausted, burning out, and we have to be prepared for the next few months, much less second and third wave. There's a video of me teaching about self-care and then navigating difficult situations. Folks can get access to a course for free, at least through August. How do you navigate our own times with triggered as well as in others? And it's a free 6-hour video. And then if folks want to learn more about designing, facilitating, workshops, equity, inclusion, any time, but particularly in these times, designing, facilitating, workshops is a phenomenal, I believe, self-paced virtual course. It's hybrid. So, and always I'm here to, how can I support you? So thank you all. I can't wait to come back afterwards as we're looking at, as senior diversity officers, how do we position equity, inclusion, social justice in everything we do and get the entire organization empowered in doing it. So thank you so much. We'll be back in a few minutes.
To transform your life and embrace magical experiences, Talking to Tanis with your host Tanis McRae is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com.
Have you ever wondered what your pets think about? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica can be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friend on Pet Talk with Pet Communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com.
Time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Raising the vibrations through stimulating conversations while exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria on Tales from the Merworld Radio with me, Amerabeth. Join us every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be ready to feel empowered and an active part of the changing Earth. For more information about me, visit Amerabeth.com.
The Truth Is Funny, Just Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Kathy Urbaer, Center for Transformation Change. So excited to continue this dialogue with Kim Baker Flowers and Beth Gothard Cohen as we continue to look at, in this current context of pandemic, several months in, looking at summer, looking at fall, and then possible second, third waves. Just keep raising. How are we getting leaders, supporting them to have an equity, inclusion, social justice lens in everything they do in crisis management, urgency, when my experience, when I'm into a crisis, I kind of fall back on old thoughts, old biases, and I may not be making thoughtful decisions. And so as we're coming back, what are some other ways you're noticing specifically you've asked leaders or leaders on their own or keeping an equity lens or specific changes you're making that'll show people even now what they could be doing to better serve the full breadth of folks, students, staff, faculty, incoming students? So we've gone to Kim first each time, and if you want to go first, it's great. And I can also flip it up. Just what are some other specific ways that you'd recommend to keep equity inclusion on the screens?
I think for me, it's, and I'm at the point in my career where I'm just showing up as me. I can honestly say maybe 5-10 years ago, I wouldn't have. It would have felt too risky. But at this point, I'm just, I feel very much I can say what I need to say. I can be that voice. I can be that advocate. I can be the activist and the accomplice if necessary. And I'm pretty fortunate right now that I do have leadership, at least on cabinet, that I feel we've got enough of a rapport where they understand I'm going to say the things. And there's usually a thoughtful kind of, at least I know they're going to think about it before they decide to do something. That's, I feel pretty assured. Now, when we go a layer down, that's when things sometimes might get a little bit more challenging because you have folks who are holding things and, you know, we've got the tension between efficiency and equity. And because of, you know, hierarchy and institutional racism, efficiency is usually going to run out. So what language do I need to use? Is it the business case? Is it, you know, what is it, especially under the pandemic context? I'm oftentimes trying to scramble and figure out, okay, what are the words that I need to say? There's magic words. I don't care what anyone says. There's particular words that you can say where you capture folks' attention. And they'll engage, and it feels like I'm struggling more and more around finding that language that will resonate for each of these different pockets. Like, for example, with faculty, you know, it's this tension between asynchronous and synchronous learning. We know that students of color don't do as well in asynchronous environments, and my particular institution is predominantly students of color. So, but because of safety, we're pretty much going to be in an asynchronous environment. So me coming up and saying, but we need to be equitable and we need to give our students what they individually need in order to be successful, they're like, well, how do we do that? And so it's trying, you know, I'm trying to find the language and the creative ways to engage. And it's sometimes I'm successful, but oftentimes it's like it's a struggle.
I hear that, and I could be wrong, but like I'm doing a webinar tomorrow on how to use an inclusion lens in crisis management. And one of the strategies I'm suggesting is at this time, you pull people together and ask those questions that you're asking. What have you been doing? First, what have you noticing about whose needs are getting met and whose aren't? And then how have you been kind of on the fly adjusting? So whether it's the intersection of first-gen students of color, low-income students, maybe without interconnectivity, students with disability, you know, and just asking those questions and going to strengths. And what else have you been thinking about that we can be planning for and do some systemic support so it's not all just individual faculty to student? So that's a real micro way of having people come together in all sorts of ways. Because my guess is, you may be feeling the pressure, both of y'all, of like, I got to have the answers. I don't, but you know how to ask the questions and you bring community together. You're not in Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, So Beth, what other strategies, building on what Kim's talking about, either you want to recommend or you've seen or you've done at this moment to really support, especially as we move farther into the organization, equity inclusion into everything we do?
Yeah, I really appreciate the question. I think there are certain ways that I've shifted how I do some of my work. So I often, when I teach grad courses around this type of work, I talk about the history of this work, right? That it used to be very prescriptive. We would tell people the language to use. We would tell them exactly, we give them scripts almost, right? So if you look at curriculum from, 25, 30 years ago, corporate especially, but across the board, and I find myself actually during this time being much more practical, much more grounded than I've ever been in this work. And so that has definitely been a shift for me, and I think it's been super effective, especially with faculty who, in our context, faculty are the main contacts right now with students because they have to be, right? Because that's what the student is there for, right, is that classroom. That is not to say our student affairs, which we call learning supportive in our institution, is very engaged, heavily engaged. But every single solitary student has faculty. And so really building faculty's capacity to know the resources of the institution, which we're always working to do, right? So Tim, you can relate to that, right? We're always working to make sure that that faculty know where they can refer a student to or what options there are. There's a lot more of that. And at the same time, balancing increasing instinct, right? So increasing the practical knowledge that is needed, but at the same time, the instincts around that. Because we can't prescribe what every scenario a faculty member is going to encounter with a student, right? And so that has definitely been great, I think, and very effective for our time. I really relate to this idea, Kim. I don't know if I would have, I appreciate your mean language for it. The idea that I'm like trying to figure out how can we slow this conversation down, because that's actually usually what is needed to have an equity lens. And that is a very complicated thing to name or to ask for in a moment of urgency. And urgent across every argument you can think of. The business model argument, the social justice model, right? We need expediency. People are struggling. People are suffering. We need responses. And so some of the things that I think we have used or utilized, the way you interrupt bias, you slow it down, right? Even 5 minutes slowing it down can be helpful, but that feels, that's hard in this moment. I would say one of the more effective things that have felt really important to me, and I've seen that at other institutions too, is making sure the right people are in the Zoom meeting, right? Making sure that people who represent and are closest, right? It goes back to, I guess, Brian Stevenson's, even though this is not exactly how he's using the idea of proximity, right? Who is most proximal to this struggle? And so in our institution, that in some cases is students. In some cases, it's members of our student affairs group, right? In some cases, it's some of our faculty or staff. And so making sure that those perspectives are in the meeting. And so I've seen that as a big part of my role, that people can hear each other and talk to each other. We've had ongoing meetings where our academic affairs and our student affairs staff have been together in meetings. And it's not that they weren't before, but very regularly. To say, what are you hearing from students, and how can we, deans, assistant deans, communicate to faculty what you're hearing, right? How can we help with that communication? Because I think communication is also a huge struggle right now across the board. So, yeah, those are some of the things that I think have felt most urgent to me.
No one's yet mentioned getting students actively involved in some of these task forces, planning, and y'all might be doing it, but the people I've been talking to know it's, getting their voices in through here's what I'm hearing. But to actually have our clients, our students in the room virtually.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, other ideas that are coming up for you before I want to talk about resistance and yeah, buts?
I'm trying to think specifically in regards to students. We have had students in many of the spaces where we're trying to thought partner on what do we do. But here towards the end, and this may get us towards, you know, the challenges, when I usually do at least a pulse check in all the meetings that I lead, and I ask people to describe their thoughts or feelings. And in the last 2 weeks, it's been primarily tired and exhausted. And our students were in the middle of, you know, struggling with finances, finals, finding spaces within wherever they, you know, the places where they were to just be a student. And we're trying to honor all of that and hold it all at the same time, creating community and holding space, which I think is a unique skill set that my division and my office provides to the institution. We're good at holding space and bringing people together in dialogue. But our students are, you know, they're saying, I'm tired and exhausted. I'm like, well, you know, at that time it was 8 or 9 weeks. What's going to happen in fall when it's going to be double the amount of time? And the students were already zoomed out. They're like done. We had recognition ceremonies, and people were like, you know, it's wonderful. Thank you so much. Great. I love that you're honoring me. Really don't want to do another Zoom. That kind of. So it's like, so in my mind, I'm like, so what happens when we're in October and, you know, we're at that 8 or 9 week and pretty, you know, I'm assuming that we're going to have experienced the same thing. And what are our creative solutions to, is there a different kind of modality? How do we engage? You know, what are, you know, I don't want to default back to Zoom, but is that my only option? I mean, my mind is constantly on the spin of how do we keep folks in it? And students especially, it's, you know, we're trying to figure out social media and different software and different ways to keep them in it. Because many of them are expressing to us, and we did a just-in-time survey through the sociology department where they're really clear. They don't like this. They don't like this online stuff. And, you know, again, the reality is bumping up against the desires and the articulated needs of the folks that we are here to serve. So, again, it's this notion of how do you hold both at once and try to do it successfully, and that is my daily kind of struggle is, you know, let's think out of the box. Let's think creatively. I love calling everything a pilot. We'll try it at least once, see if it works, you know, see what sticks. That's the way I'm trying to engage folks, especially the students.
And that goes back to you're trying to go throughout the organization people who may not be showing up in the way you wish they were, what magic word. So pilots, doing things differently now, trying it out, actually may help us avoid problems that are very costly and actually hurt our recruiting and retention down the line. Mm-hmm. That whole financial business case, I think, could work as we move into the organization. And let's just try it. I love it. As we just have a few moments left, let's look at resistance, and that's my language. But what if folks are doing it the old way? I don't care how we used to do it and who was getting hurt, unintended impact, who we served differentially. I really think this is a time to ask everyone, what are you doing that's actually you never thought of you'd ever do, and who is it really serving? How are people actually benefiting from the ways we're doing it? What can we keep? So either that way, or how do you deal with folks that are just wanting to go back to the old, quote, normal, the resistance, not think about equity inclusion? And I'll start with Beth, and then we'll end with Kim. And I wish we had more time. Beth, what comes up for you?
A few things. I also am thinking a lot about the synchronous, asynchronous question because of the different things, the different needs. So, you know, we have a large population of students with disabilities. The reason I'm loving being in community college as a person with multiple disabilities, right, being able to be part of those communities. And so in some cases, for example, with interpreters, right, synchronous spaces, the ability to make sure that interpretation happens, right, is a huge question. All students across the board, and especially students of color, really need that community, right? They need the sense of belonging. And the sense that people are going to show up and help them learn the content of the course, and they're not going to have to do it alone, right? And so, but then we have students who are have been called up in terms of military service, National Guard service, and so they synchronous is not an option for them, right? So then you record it, but it's obviously not the same, right? And so really kind of navigating that. And I use that example, one, because Kimmy brought it up, and I appreciate you bringing it up, because I would love to talk to you more about how you're thinking about it for fall. But in, a lot of faculty want the institution to make a decision. And this is not just an SB. Like, tell us, right? Do you want us to do it synchronous? Do you want us to do it asynchronous? What are the expectations? Like, what are, we need clear expectations at this point, right? And it's complicated and really looks different. And so kind of around this, I had polled my students for a grad course I'm teaching this summer, and 50% of my students said, yes, I could do synchronous, but it's not preferred. And 50% literally said, yes, it is absolutely preferred. It's the only way I can learn. Right. And I'm like, all right. So what does that mean? And what does that look like for that student and for me as a faculty member? So it's powerful for me to watch this in real time, kind of while I'm trying to teach and the faculty struggles. And so one of the forms of resistance that I'm seeing is this struggle. And I wonder if it's unique to community colleges. I'm guessing it is to an extent, but maybe not in another in other ways. Is this tension between just tell me what you want me to do, right? Also with, I think, fear, and this is national fear, this is not necessarily specific to my institution, of losing your position, right, of losing your job. So just tell me what the expectations are and I'll execute them. And widely diverse disciplines, right, which need really different modalities. And so some of the resistance is you can tell me this is good from a diversity, equity, inclusion standpoint, but how does that mesh with my discipline? And what does that look like? And so for me, the way that I've navigated that, other than having great colleagues who are willing to navigate it with me, is to ask the question, right? Well, what about this? The creativity, right? Being, trying to be innovative. I have emailed random institutions in our country and said, hi, how are you all doing blah, 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 asynchronously, right? So really trying to build on the work that other people are doing and understand how to do and maybe have more resources to do so that, that we can support people in having, right, we're not going like this. The more we think kind of in a tunnel way, I think the less possibilities that are open to us, the less innovation, the less creativity. And it is hard to be creative in a time like this. And so that has been, I think, a huge part of my role is what, can we, give me 24 hours. Let me try to think with some other people about options here. And I know that 24 hours is scary, and I'll come back to you with something, right, that we can move forward on. And so that's definitely one way that I've navigated the urgency, the we have to speed this up, it has to be, we have to move on from it. So, yeah, that's some thoughts.
Thank you. And, Kim, what does that bring up? Or other ways when there's more resistance and, like, let's just do it the old way? What comes up?
It made me think, and I don't know why, I just went completely individual and personal because I was thinking about this notion around fear. This notion around let's be efficient, let's do things quickly, and me showing up as a woman, as an African-American woman, in this position where there's hiring chills, where folks are afraid if, you know, whether or not their job is deemed valuable or essential. Diversity, that's a real fear, because in many institutions, diversity may not be seen as essential. And in this modality where we're talking virtually to each other, me showing up the way I do, I've been in places and worked in previous positions where I felt as if I was hyper-surveilled in terms of how I presented and watching my facial expressions. And Zoom allows people to just look directly at your face. And it's like, so, you know, the risk of that kind of courageous voice, ensuring that, you know, you're your all these thoughts of how you're showing up literally, how your face, how you're reacting, your fears, the social political, you had mentioned Ahmad, all these things that are happening, they're bringing your personal and professional, they're colliding because you're literally working at home. And it's all happening at one time, and you're trying to be clear-headed enough to be this courageous voice, all while, you know, surveilling yourself. I mean, I think it can oftentimes feel overwhelming. I'm feeling very, very fortunate right now that I am where I am at and don't feel as if I have to be as on, so to speak, as I needed to be in other places. But I do empathize with those who are in the position right now, especially coming out as chief diversity officers, standing out when it often feels like you're on a limb by yourself, and whether or not you've got allies, especially around your senior administration at cabinet table, who will at least echo and reinforce what you're trying to say. It feels risky. But the only thing, and those are the biggest challenges, again, I felt very much going internal in response to what Beth, that was what was coming up for me. But I do believe that we are standing in a moment where there's truly possibility for creativity. There, you are doing what is right. You are doing things that are in service to your students. And it may, you know, not be a financial kind of clear, tactile assurance, but understand that you are in solidarity with many folks across the nation who have been there, who are in your shoes, who are feeling just as sometimes just singular in their moment of trying to be courageous and voice. And I want to say for everyone that's just listening, you are very much valued and appreciated, and I can empathize with many of those different emotions because they're coming up for me as well.
So powerful. What a way to end, because so many folks, I think, are in that position. Do I take that risk? And we, with more privileged identities, particularly identify as white, what's our role in being the one to speak up, ask the questions so folks of color literally are not putting their jobs on the line every time they raise the issue? And the idea of both and, urgency and equity inclusion, move fast and slow down, so both and. As we close, I'm so grateful for you both. Would you please just remind people how they can find you? Because I think you're going to get some calls and emails.
So my email address is bethgouthercullen@gmail.com. So it's just exactly as my name is written, no hyphens, no periods or spaces. Thank you so much, Kathy. I've really appreciated this conversation. It's been healing and helpful and grounding. So I'm grateful.
Kimberly.BakerFlowers@csueastbay.edu. And I echo what Beth said. Thank you so much, Kathy. I appreciate you.
I am so grateful for you both in my life and for the wisdom. Yes, having you both was wonderful. And again, folks, on the radio show page, you can find their emails as well as you can always email me. And tomorrow, on Thursday, the 21st of May, I'm doing a webinar, how to use an equity, inclusion, social justice lens in everything we do in crisis management. So you can go to drkathyberry.com/events. Sign up. If you don't come, you can get the video, and that itself could be a way to build internal capacity, breadth and depth of the organization, get lots of ideas and strategies. And I'm Dr. Kathy O'Bear with Center for Transformation and Change. So grateful for all the folks who are keeping equity, inclusion, social justice, a race lens in everything we do. It is not easy. It is a scary time. And it's an exciting time, as Kim said and Beth said. Possibilities, bring people together for expansive thinking. That's what this next month or two could really be.
You've been listening to Dr. Kathy O'Bear on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to catch us next time as Kathy inspires listeners to become agents of change, motivate, innovate, and speak truth to power. Step into the courageous you that will change the world. Connect to life-changing conversations to extend your reach.
For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobert.com. That's drkathyobert.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We'll thank folks so far. No major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Slowing on 45 southbound just before Northeast Park Drive as you enter those S-curves. It's backed up just a little bit to around Northeast 30th Street. But again, traffic's looking pretty good as we approach closer to the lunch rush. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time it's the Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin, bridging the mystical and scientific. Topic for the day, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Stay tuned.
Special report, coronavirus update. The U.S. continues to accuse China and the World Health Organization of cooperating in withholding vital information from the world about the coronavirus. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo offered no new evidence behind the charge.
The Chinese Communist Party's response to the COVID-19 outbreak in Wuhan have accelerated our more realistic understanding of communist strengths. The party chose to destroy live virus samples instead of sharing them or asking us to help secure them.
The CDC has quietly posted reopening guidance online. Here's correspondent Rosa Flores.
The CDC releasing detailed guidelines on how to safely reopen the country amid reports of tension between the agency and the White House and all 50 states at least partially easing social distancing measures.
The World Bank today says the pandemic could throw an additional 60 million people into poverty. I'm Mike Moss. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says testing in his state has found higher rates of infection among the general public than among frontline workers, including doctors, nurses, police, and fire.
In lower-income communities, communities of color, we partnered with the faith-based community, with churches, to conduct tests. We found about 27% of the individuals testing positive. 27%, that's compared to the New York City general population of about 19%.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo denies he recommended firing the State Department's independent watchdog in retaliation for investigations into Pompeo's conduct as America's top diplomat. But Pompeo again declined to provide a specific reason for why Steve Linnick was dismissed as inspector general. The Dow is down or up 300. I'm Mike Moss.
Hey, Seattle, let me ask you something. Are you an entrepreneur thinking about starting your own company? Or maybe you're a career-minded professional looking to scale the corporate ladder, but the path seems a bit foggy? No worries. I got you. My name is Dominic Lawson, and I am the host of The Startup Life. Every Wednesday at 9 a.m., we will go on a journey of self-discovery as I interview the best business minds from around the world. So if you want to clearly see the path forward, tune into The Startup Life, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Learn more at thestartuplifepodcast.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a 50% chance of showers today, pretty much later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 62 degrees. For tonight, clouds and rain will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 46, 47. For Thursday, more clouds and rain expected again. High temperatures around 58. That will hang around for most of the day. We'll also bring up the wind out of the south to southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour by the afternoon. Low temperatures Thursday will be around 47. For Friday, partly cloudy skies, high temperatures around 61, with clear breaks and low temperatures 49 rolling on to Memorial Day weekend.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Thank you. friends. This is Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and this is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. As you know, we are the creators of our own reality. During our journey, we will write our own life story and create our own personal resume. We all have been provided the freedom to choose what we want, choose how we feel, and choose how we respond to events and circumstances. This brings an inspirational quote to mind. If you can dream it, you can do it. Mr. Walt Disney. I hope you have a wonderful day filled with love, light, creativity, and of course, your freedom of choice. Namaste, my beautiful friends, and I'll see you next time.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is the Hour of Healing Power. In this live call-in show, The Healing Hour, I'm going to take your calls and help you get started on your way to your maximum potential. So come on, settle in, listen up, and I'll take your questions head on. Together, we'll find practical wisdom and understanding about what ails you. In The Healing Hour, we'll start your day off right. Insights and practical health knowledge and concepts for how you really live. I'll take your issue and help guide you with a blend of scientific medicine and the esoteric, including shamanic energy medicine. So let's shake off some of that mystery and get started on how to really live. Together, let's get unstuck. So come on and join in, join up, and let me help, and let go of what holds you back from being the maximum you the world needs. Take down this call-in number, 1-800-930-2819, and let's get started on the Healing Hour right now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Doc Martin.
Hey, and I'm Dr. Pat. Yep, that's what this is, the Healing Hour, with both Dr. Sharon Martin and me. And this show is about bringing the mystical and the scientific across that bridge of consciousness that lives in the world of possibilities. That's what Doc Martin does. We had a great show for people today. You and I have been talking quite a bit about what we're living through, how we're living in the world, right?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about today's topic, today's show, and what it is that you're seeing and experience in your life. I mean, you are a medical doctor. You treat patients. You're seeing things that all of us perhaps or many of us have not seen. But yet, today we're talking about this little light of mine. So what is it that called this topic forward for you?
Well, we're about, gosh, how much? 6 weeks, 8 weeks into the shelter in place, and people are either going absolutely crazy, have no idea how to handle themselves, have no idea how to make it without their restaurant, I understand your family, if you can't see all your family, you can't hug your grandkids. But then there's others that have said, you know, I really like this quiet time. Some people say, well, I'm getting a lot done around the house. Well, that's good. But other people are saying, you know, I started painting again. I hadn't had any time to paint. Or I spent more time outside. I took my son on walks in the woods, and we were looking for mushrooms. So there's an opportunity here, and that's what I want to talk about today. There's an opportunity in this forced shelter in place, this forced quiet, to really tap in deeply, and instead of reacting to the rules, the jail, they can't make me, the government is, you know, all those things that we feel like, you can't tell me what to do. What about take that time to really figure out, do we want to go back to the way it was? Do we want to go back to the way Do I want to go back to the way my life was? Crazy, pressured, on every second timeline? No, I really don't. So how are we reacting? How can we find what really lights us up. And how can we use this opportunity? Because the shelter in place might be easing, but the sense of it and the caution is not easing up, and that won't ease up for a while. So how can we use that enforced quieting and deepening to our advantage? That's kind of what I want to talk about today.
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing stories that go from one end of the spectrum, you know, some of the really creative things, to the other end of the spectrum, you know, the rise in domestic abuse. So we're hearing, we're getting a range of things that are happening. And I think that, you know, I think we see contrasts in our lives at a number of points in time, but there's usually the lower end of the bell-shaped curve, the lower end of the bell-shaped curve, and then the whole big bell shape in the middle where most of us reside. But it's really interesting when you talk to people how their stories and the way that they're thinking about their world is starting to shift.
Yeah.
The number one thing that I've noticed with the people that I chat with, it used to be everybody's plugged into the news. We're like, we're home, turn it on, we're in. That is the one thing I am noticing that's changing now, where people are like, I can't watch the same conversation over and over again. Mm-hmm. What is your sense of that? Because while I think we want to stay informed, I think informed is one thing, but every nugget and nuance of every aspect of what's going on is really becoming overwhelming for people.
Right. Well, you know, you said the majority is in the bell and then the outliers are out here. And I think news, in order to gain your attention and to bring you over to that particular channel, picks things in the outlier zone. So it's the dramatic and the weird and the crazy. But, you know, I keep remembering, gosh, it has to be 15, 20 years ago, Andrew Weil, Dr. Andrew Weil, who was the founder of integrative medicine out of Tucson, not Phoenix, I think, Tucson. And he said one of the top things to do to de-stress your life is to quit watching the news. Well, every time you get that turmoil of a perspective of the world, that really isn't the whole perspective. Because if you were to ignore that and really look at what's in front of you and really feel what's in front of you, that's a bunch of drama that really doesn't have a lot to do with you. But for a lot of people and people who get wound up, that stuff feeds them, and what it builds up inside, I don't see that as good energy, because people are agitated, they're angry, they feel helpless, they're lashing out. Nothing that I think I'm saying this for all people, that's not the qualities we want to bring forward as humanity. So if you're getting wound up from that drama of the points of view, that's not helping your energy heal. That's total turmoil. So I'm kind of like, you know, put it aside for a minute. And I'm going to sound like a broken record, but go be outdoors. If you want a real perspective on what life's about, be with the earth.
Yeah. I think that one of the things, Doc, that you're talking about is really, I mean, we're now starting to see, I don't know, I get a lot of press releases and a lot of things that come across, you know, my desk, and Linda gets them too. And, you know, we're now getting information that's being picked up to cover that most of us have seen all along. You know, we're now getting information about this is happening, this is happening. What I'm really missing in those conversations is, what are you doing to solve that problem? You know, if this is on the rise and this is on the rise, so what's the action? What are we doing? What are we adjusting? And one of the things that I think you're talking about today, which is very, very important, is we are hunkering down. There is a feeling of constriction. And so aren't you asking the question, how are we reacting to that? Because we are literally days in most states away from, quote, opening up again, right? But what do you think is going to be the response to this?
Well, when you said energy field, I want to talk about it from when I look at the energy field. We felt constricted. If you gauge your identity on everything that's around you, that can feel constricting. But if you can find your way to be inside, there's a richness within each of us. There's a richness that defies constriction. So when we, quote, open up, we're going to open up external constraints. And I think it would be a mistake to all of a sudden push, let your energy field just go haywire to try to expand into all of that. I think we need discernment. I think we need to decide, okay, we're going to, quote, open. Let's take restaurants, for example. I certainly don't want to be in a crowded restaurant because this virus is still around. So if I choose to go, I'm going to just remember how many of you guys heard about this very unique idea. In the Netherlands, there was a restaurant either by the shore or by a river, and they made little greenhouses. So the tables were enclosed in little greenhouses. And so between each customer, they cleaned down the whole thing. Well, that was so clever, and it was actually attractive. It was aesthetically very attractive.
Yeah.
So I think you can pick and choose, but I really want to encourage people to make it your choice. Don't just, like, blah, open up and just jump right back into everything that's going on, because I think we've seen that there is chaos out there. There is, for many, a ribbon of the death force. This virus has caused harm. We need to choose how to link on to the life force and bring ourselves forward in a very measured and discerning way.
Yeah, I want to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to really look at this really very, very closely. You know, because one of the things you're talking about is, what do we discover about ourselves? You know, what is it that emerged from this time that is so important to hold on to? You know, what are the different levels of creativity? What are the possibilities of what people are doing? How have people made shifts and changes, you know, in their lives? The stories that are coming to the forefront. And most importantly, how are you spending your time? You know, we'd like to hear from those of you out there. If you want to join in on the conversation, I'd love to hear what kind of innovations, what kind of things have you done differently? And I've got a story to share as well. Happened this morning at 7:30. And, you know, when I thought about my friends doing this, I thought, oh, is that really going to be the same? Well, when we come back, we want to hear from everybody. The question really is, what did you discover about yourself? And what did you literally put down and say, wow, I'm not going to do this like this anymore? 1-800-930-2819. Let's take a short break. Benny, Olivia, we'll be right back.
Your highest potential and tune into embodying your higher self. Schools for Conscious Living with Michelle Tempaka. You can listen on TransformationTalkRadio.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Michelle is an energy healer, intuitive, and shamanic practitioner dedicated to helping you heal and transform your life. For more information about sessions, coaching, and upcoming workshops and retreats, visit SpiritHeaverJourneys.com.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of you. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Guess what? You are listening to the Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin and me, Dr. Pat. For those of you out there, I just want to make sure you know that if you want to schedule a session with Dr. Martin, you can go to her website. We're going to give you lots of information today, drsharonmartin.com. And of course, you'll be able to connect with her, also to build in some time with her, to be able to get some help on the transitions we're making, and we are making them. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of time to make the transition into where we are, but we do have time now to make the transition back to something. I'm not quite sure it's going to go back to what it was. But the other thing is, we're taking your calls today. We want to know, how have you hunkered down in time? What did you do during this period of time? Was there something that you did to help another person? Was there something that you did differently in your own life to help yourself? You know, what have you seen? What have you done? How are you connecting with your family? And this is Doc Martin. Doc, this is the thing that I wanted to say. I was sharing with you during the break that this morning I have a friend who had a birthday today. Happy birthday, Hillary. And normally I wouldn't be able to make the event because my schedule goes from about 7:30 in the morning, right? And it goes right through. And to get to Seattle, to Green Lake from where I live, in a non-COVID-19 state, it's an hour now with traffic. Even on a good day, it's a half. But we couldn't do it because the places here are not open. So Barb organized a Zoom birthday party. Mm-hmm. And we were all asked to show up and wear masks, and my mask is back there. I don't know if anybody can see it. But we were all asked to show up, bring masks, wear something sparkly, because that's Hillary. And here's what happened. Normally, this is only a small group of us that live here. But this morning, because of what they did, we were able to get our friends from Canada who were on there. Cosette woke up at 4:30 in the morning from Honolulu to be part of the call. Mm. You know, and this is not something that would have happened that way.
Right.
And we each talked about, you know, something about our day yesterday that made us all smile. What were some things that made us all smile? And, you know, some of it were really smile-like, but some of the things that were shared were so touching, you know. And I think this would not have happened that way.
Right.
And I have a close group of friends. There's literally about 30-plus of us. But this would not have happened this way. And my fear is that when we go back to sitting down and having the coffees and going down to Green Lake and fighting the traffic, that those people that can't go will not be able to do that. So I am hoping that we look at how to do both. But you see,
right,
that's just one thing. What is your sense of it? Are we going to lose some of the things that we've learned here?
I think it's going to take awareness and discipline to remember what we, the new clothes, so to speak, that we put on, because it's going to be really easy to be pulled back into the same old, same old. But I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to, my patients in particular, who we do our visits now by phone, or for the younger ones who have a smartphone, we do it by like a FaceTime visit.
and they are relieved to be having a conversation, and without all of the check-in process, the nurses, the this, the that, without all that institution, it's just me and the patient. And we have more time, and we're talking about things we would have never had the time to talk about before. And they like it. I like it. I'd much rather do my business that way. I feel like I'm really connected, and they've enjoyed it a lot. So I'm hoping we hold on to that as well.
So when we talk about this topic today and we're looking at what did we discover about ourselves, right? You know, when we were laying down here, when we were in place, I think we've gone through a shift. And the way that I kind of like to think about it, and I'd love to hear your take on it, is we went through the shock of it, right, originally, but then we went through the novelty of it. Great, we're going to be home, right? Then we went through, wow, we're really going to be home now for a longer period of time. So I think we've went through the range of emotions, including unemployment. How do I get support for my business if I'm trying to stay? I mean, we've went through a number of different things. And now we're back having to make that transition to now go back to some resemblance of what it was like. But how do we hold on to those creative, positive, new ways of things? How do we hold on to them? How do we hold on to these ways that we have spent our time that were so precious that we wouldn't ordinarily do?
I think in modern society, we have undervalued joy, that deep personal joy of creativity, something small. And I think we're going to have to try really hard to remember how good we felt when we were doing some of these things, because there are aspects of us that have been quiet for a while that are just now coming to the surface. And unless you are by nature a very creative person and you live in that world all the time, some people do. But the rest of us are going to have to try to keep that fire alive. You know, I actually have, our nurses got laid off in a rotation, laid off being better because they could apply for unemployment and get that extra bonus.
Right.
And they were grumbling until, thank goodness for the stimulus checks, because until that came in, and then they said, you know, I got more money being home than I did being at work.
Oh,
and
yeah, I just heard that.
I did this, and this. So they felt more fully alive in that week without the financial. In fact, if you asked them, do you want to go back to work? If you were to keep getting the same money, they probably wouldn't, because they probably don't love work. So it's nice if we can keep those things we learned in this time off and hold on to pieces of them, because it makes us so much more full. So much more balanced.
Yeah, I have to tell you, you just said something, and I want to piggyback off of it. I have a friend that has a fantastic restaurant catering business in New York. And I have a number of friends that own restaurants, right? And, you know, so I never have to worry about, like, eating good food. That's actually not a problem for me. It's a problem for my waistline, but it's not a problem for me. And when I hear them talk, see, this is something you don't think about. On the other hand, my hairstylist can't wait to get back to work and is trying to encourage me not to do my own hair, but just to wait. But there's another side of it where my friend was telling me, I can't get my top chef to come back. And I thought about this for a minute, and it didn't make sense at first, but now it does. When you and I are talking about this, while it's raised up some enormous fears from people, what also happened is, like the title of this episode, right?
Right.
The title of this episode, The Little Light of Mine. And I got to tell you, that little light is going off inside people right now. And they are getting a sense of, who the bleep am I? who am I?
Right.
You know, I mean, who? Somebody asked me not too long ago. I did an interview yesterday, I think, and we were talking, and you know, I tried to explain. This is one of the worst things you want anybody to say to you when you're in crisis, right? Everything happens for a reason. When people would say that to me, my eyes would be like little fireballs, right? And I've learned not to react to it. But what I've come to know about it is the depth of that meeting if you have faith, if you have trust in the universe, higher power, whatever that is for you. Because what's happening to people is what you talked about earlier. Something is being ignited inside of them. And I'm not talking about the firefighters and the hospital workers and the nurses, the people that have just been on the front line. They have not been home having the time to think about this, right, Doc Martin? We're not talking about those people.
No.
They've had to think about it in a different way. They've had a different ignition key that plugged in. But a lot of other folks are now thinking, can I activate my altruism? What have I learned about this? You know, what have my children taught me? You know, I'm looking at how I'm spending my day. How am I going to go back to the new normal? And I'm not sure how we do that without a strong spiritual foundation.
Well, I was just thinking that it's really a call of the soul. Because if I think about that little light, that's your soul essence. And so many of us have been fooled into thinking that it gets fuel from the outside world. Well, the outside world, perhaps, if it's what brings you joy and what fills you up. So you have to really be ready to know, and this is where faith and belief come in, to know that you can light that light yourself and you can grow it, and you choose what things fill you up and you choose what things light your fire.
I feel that song coming on now, Benny.
I know, I was just thinking of that.
I feel that song coming on right now. I mean, it is that song that, oh boy, are we dating ourselves here?
We are very much.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Let's take a short break. We're going to come back and talk about just that. I want to know from all you out there, 1-800-930-2819, or if you're on Facebook, I want to know, come on, baby, what has lit your fire during this time? We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
To put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Eternal purpose is calling out to you each and every day. Are you listening? Tune in to Dynamic Destiny Radio with Coach Pete Cafarcio every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be your authentic self and live the life that you were destined for. Learn practical tools to discover your purpose and conquer other fears that keep you stuck in a life of mediocrity. Learn more about Coach Pete by visiting PeteCoaching.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later. Get your goddess groove on with me, Laura Hosford. Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I offer you authentic channel messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace. Get your goddess groove on. When the goddess speaks, everyone listens. For more information, visit LauraHosford.com. That's LauraHosford.com.
You know that I would be your lion if I were to say it to you. Girl, it wouldn't get much higher.
Oh boy, is that bringing back a few dang memories?
Are we baby boomers or what?
Oh my gosh.
70s.
I actually mentioned the Doors the other day to one of these young folks that I hang out with and work with, and it was the funniest moment I have had in a long time.
Do they even know who the Doors were?
So I think this was a joke kind of pushback on me, right? Oh. Like when I was saying, have you ever like heard the Doors? And I think this was a little 13-year-old like teasing me, because this can't be real. I know she knows the Doors. Yeah. And her answer was, yeah, what kind of doors? The doors that slam in your face, the doors that open. Are you talking about elevators? Are you talking about these French doors with the glass in it? What doors? Now, this is a young person. And I just looked and I just laughed hysterically. But this is part of the time we're in, Doc. I mean, there are moments I have cried. There are moments I have cried. And there are moments where I have been put into the ignition of doing something bold, right?
Right.
And I'm watching people around me. But let's talk about you, because part of what I'm noticing is this is a time for us to help people clear stuff, right? And you're going to do that later on in the show. Tell us about that for a minute, would you?
Well, I think we really have this unique opportunity to decide what in our life and things that we've invested in doesn't serve us anymore. And how can we molt? How can we shed that skin and move, step forward? What do we want to bring forward? And it's the things that light us up. You know, come on, baby, light my fire. We've got to really take this opportunity. We've been given an incredible, and I see this as a galactic event. I'm not going to go into, you know, it was in a lab and then it was human created, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to see this as a real opportunity for us to have a dormancy, to molt and grow into something. So we need to decide what do we keep and what do we step away from. I think that's going to be critical. And I can help people with that on a personal level if they'd like. You can contact me through my website, drsharonmartin.com, drsharonmartin.com. Because if you have issues and you want to talk about how to get yourself all fired up, and I can help, I'm available. So just so people know that.
And that really is what we're talking about now, because I realized myself in this time. I'm surrounded by amazing people. But I've noticed for myself, I had really had to lean on some additional resources for myself. I had to lean on the resources that I get, you know, in recovery. I've had to lean on, you know, resources that I get from my therapy buddies and, you know, my coaches, my multiple coaches that I had. And that, to me, was a sign that I had evolved to a point. Because I'm telling you, Benny knows this. I'm a kid from New York. We are so used to being independent, really, to picking ourselves up and, like, boom, marching. I did a post this morning because a woman that that did so much for AIDS and, you know, the AIDS epidemic and caring for her son passed away at 93. And I was reflecting upon that time. I think we have heroes today in this time. Mm-hmm. See, we're trying to figure out how to celebrate them more. You know what I'm saying, Doc?
I do. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And you are one of those heroes. You are one of those people that you have created a venue, Maximum Medicine, the Healing Hour. You are one of the people, one of our hosts, one of the people that have said, I am going to do this. You have a full-time medical practice. You are a doctor. But yet you see that there is something that you are called to bring forward to help other people. And for those of you listening, if you have not spent time getting a blessing from Doc Martin, this is the time to do it. I have just watched you grow and evolve, and more of that's going to be coming with your book. But this is not something that we're talking about that is like a side idea. This is when we're each being called forward. Each of us to be called forward.
Doing these radio shows literally made my soul jump up and down in joy. And that's what lights your fire. That's what makes you feel alive. That's what keeps you pushing forward. And especially if you can find something that, for me, my criteria is it going to make the world better? Is it going to at least put good juju out there in the atmosphere? Light yourself up. Find what you love to do. And so I'm very happy to be doing the radio show.
We're going to do something now because we have to clear some things out. We have to clear them out. That's what I have been finding. Yesterday, this thing I've been talking about with the video, that thing we did, Jessica and I went down to do in October, and we went down there not expecting anything, Doc. We went down there to support people, to take pictures, to do interviews. We didn't go down there expecting to actually be in the video. And yesterday, the video drops the day after the song dropped. And I remembered as I watched this video how special that moment was. And how many pictures we have to share about it, people coming together. You see, but in order for us to even do that, Doc, Jessica and I had to clear a lot of doubt away.
Yeah.
A lot of it. A lot of it. And yesterday when I watched this video, man, I just cried. But you have to help us now. Yeah. You have to help us now.
Okay. All right, so what Dr. Pat is saying is let's just break away from talk and let's go into a meditative space for our remaining minutes. So just I'd like everybody who's listening to sort of drop away all the thinking in our minds. Nice deep breath in with the nose, out with the mouth. Let's just take a little visualization journey to get ourselves ready to really light up. Just a few nice, deep, easy breaths to get us in the zone, get us relaxed. And I want you to see yourselves going to take a walk outside, and there's no worries. There's no 6-foot social distancing. This is a beautiful meadow that's opening up in front of you. I want you to start to walk out on this meadow. And every part of you is traveling along. You've left your thoughts, work, the home, of everything else behind. It's just you and this gorgeous green grass. And you stop for a minute and you take your shoes off because you want to put your feet on the earth from which you source. And you're walking in the meadow and there is a beautiful oak tree ahead of you. The sun is shining, the skies are blue, it's gorgeous, there's light clouds. You come on over to this tree and you take a seat at the base of the tree and you lean back against the trunk and you feel the sun shining through the leaves above you and you're very, very peaceful. And you start to settle into a little bit of an altered state. You settle into a little bit of a space where you just are in contact with your higher self. You're in contact with your soul. Your spirit guides gather around. And you take a minute and scan your energy field, scan your knowing. Scan through your body, through your thoughts. And you're scanning to see, and it'll come to your mind right away. You don't have to strain for this. You'll just know it. And remember, your spirit guides and higher self are here to help. What doesn't fit anymore? What do you need to leave behind when we come out of this hunker down phase? What are you ready to step forward out of? So just energetically, if you would, reach around your field and find that. Let it go. Push it aside. Let it go. Let's just take a few moments for you to think about those things and scan your field. Just one by one, just, you know, I really don't want to work the way I did. I really don't want to live the way I did. I loved drawing. I want to keep that. I don't want to do all this rush. I love the quiet. I'm going to keep the quiet. I adopted a dog. I love being with animals. I'm going to keep that. What things no longer serve you can be gone now. And as you release them, you can feel lighter and you feel more connected with that soul quality, that deep knowing of that essence of you. And as you're leaning back against this glorious oak tree and you can feel down in the center of your chest, and even if you want to travel there, travel to your sacred space of your heart. Travel there into that beautiful chamber where your essence lives. That's where spirit connects with your soul. That's where your light lives. And as you're sitting, you get in that chamber and you make yourself comfortable in your sacred space of your heart. And you reach down and you light a candle and you set it on the table beside you. That light of the candle springs up and you're reminded of the things that light you up and you feel them welling up inside you. You always wanted to compose music, so you're going to take music lessons again. You always wanted to go and take a class, maybe learn from a master chef. You always wanted to have more time to take hikes. You want to hike the Appalachian Trail, or for those of you in the West Coast, hike up in the Pacific Northwest. What is it that you love to do and you're going to bring forward? And as you think about it, as you feel it and how it makes you feel so glorious and wonderful, watch the candlelight grow and build. Watch its flame strengthen. And it's going to take a few moments here for you to feel what you love. Feel what you love and have it expand in your field. Have it just fill you up. Expansive, expansive. And as you do, you can see that flame getting stronger and stronger. And in contrast, as a thought comes, feels like a duty, something you are forced to do, you can kind of see that the flame kind of flickers and maybe even subdues. So focusing entirely on lighting that flame stronger and stronger and stronger. And feel it, because it's what makes you filled with joy. It's what makes you expand. It's what you can feel your heart leap. And you're here in the sacred space of your heart, in your personal sanctuary, where your soul is bringing forth the essence that you love, the essence that makes you jump for joy, leap in the air, and make that fire stronger and stronger. We're just going to do that for a few more moments for you to really search and feel. This is about feeling. Feel how you love something and you want more of that in your life. Feel that. Feel it and see the flame respond in turn. And our guides are here. Our higher selves are here. Angel energy, high, high celestial soul energy here, speaking to all of us, lighting that candle, making that flame leap bigger and bigger, strong. That's the essence of you. That's your joy. And while we have this beautiful space, let's make sure we really make the most of it and switch our attention as we scan our own field, and we scan as we sit in this control center of our heart space. Scan our field, scan our knowings. You'll know what it is. What is it that really holds you back? And maybe it's time to step away. Let's use this flame and this sacred space time to bring us the courage to make that first step to get away from something that really doesn't enliven us, because we're all about maximizing our life force right now. And just really be honest with yourself. And allow this time of sitting with your flame to build your courage to take that step. Build your courage. This is about your essence being most fully expressed. Using this time, this quiet space, to do that. And you know, you can always come back here. When you're in a relaxed and meditative space, your sacred space of your heart is here all the time waiting for you. All the time where your soul and spirit connect. This is where things happen. This is where you create your destiny. So really use this space right now that we've created among all of us here to bring forward the courage to take a step. And before we leave this beautiful space, we're just going to ask for either a higher self, an angel, a spirit guide, some kind of knowing is going to appear in the room before you. And it's going to bring you a message. And that message may be written down on a piece of paper in front of you. Perhaps a book opens up in front of you. Perhaps it's a whisper in your ear. Perhaps you just know. but this is one thing that you are being told, one knowing that's going to help you in your journey to step more fully. So take this message, however it arrives. Maybe it's a beam of color, maybe a butterfly flapped into the room. Maybe a power animal walked in and dropped it at your side. Take this message and know it. And remember to bring it back with you as we come back, when we come back to the world. And now, always with gratitude, gratitude to all the energies that were here in the sacred space. Thank you for this time, knowing you could always come back. Take your leave, leave the sacred space of your heart, and come back out to the bottom of the base of the tree. And standing up gently from the base of the tree, if you're a tree hugger, you hug the tree with thanks for it being your anchor point today. And come on and walk back through the meadow. Through the meadow, the grass, the sun shining on you. You are newly lit up. You are expanded. You are ready for your fuller expression. You have lit your own fire. Come on back, full of fire, and be back now in this space and this time. And we're here.
That was so beautiful.
I could really feel it. Oof.
Wow. You know, we're going to go ahead and pull this meditation off after we're done, Doc, and we'll be able to make it available for you to share with everyone. Because I know for myself, if you were doing that, I could just feel the movement, but I couldn't feel the things leaving, but they left. And the reason I know they left is mm-hmm. because I was just flooded with these possibilities about something.
Ooh, I like
that. That's the beauty of that. Right? That's the beauty of it. Doc Martin, everybody, would you please tell folks how they can contact you directly, how they can work with you? You also do beautiful stone blessing ritual, too. Tell folks about that, too.
Well, I was just reflecting as I was thinking about that meditation that, by the way, kind of just my higher self brought it forward. But that's what maximum medicine is. That's about us being the absolutely biggest expression of ourselves that we can be. And that's what my work is. I use esoteric work and shamanic healing to work with people energetically to help bring forth the maximum that you can be. So that's drsharonmartin.com, drsharonmartin.com. You can contact me through that. The email is on there. That's the simplest way to do it. And you can read about all my services on the website. And that's what I'm all about, is helping you be the biggest. And I mean big in terms of soul expansion.